Today's shiur in Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Beis, we will begin Beis or Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, the second line, Ve'esim La'sokam. We had discussed in our previous shiur that the Torah, when it describes Shemitah and what is affected by Shemitah, we said that since the Torah uses the word La'ochla, eating becomes the model of where Shvius is applicable. And as we discussed, eating is something which is chanoso biurishava. As you benefit from what you're eating, you're also destroying it. You eat the food, as you're eating it, you're benefiting from it. And that becomes the model for what is or isn't affected by Shvius. So not a question that we discussed was, what about wood? So the Gemara said that since wood is typically used in those days for fuel, and there first the wood gets burnt up and then it gives off the energy, so the halacha is that wood is not considered, some wood is not something that's considered subject to Shemitah law. Says the Gemara, Amar of Kahana, this issue of how we look at wood, Eitzim La'Soka, this rule that Rava said, that usually wood is used for burning, and therefore wood is not subject to Shemitah rule, is actually, suggests Rav Kahana, Tanoihi, Amachloikas Tanoim. The Tanya, Ein Moisrim Perishvias, we're not allowed to use Perishvias, Loi L'Mishra, not to use them to soak linen, V'loi l'kvusa, not to use it as a detergent for laundry. Rav Yosef, nice and perish shvius, we can use shvius produce like wine, l'toicha mishra, l'toicha kvusa. So the Gemara explains this machlokes. Matam d'rabbonon, why did Rabbonon hold that you may not? Amakra, as we quoted, the pasuk when it describes Shemitah, says, v'hoisa shabbos haretz l'chem l'ochla. The Torah uses the word la'achla, and it can't be used v'loy l'misra, it can't be used for soaking, la'achla v'loy l'kfusa, it can't be used for laundry. The Torah says, as we just read the pasuk, v'hoysa shabbos ha'aretz l'chem, so from here we learn, l'chol tzorcheichem, whatever need we have with the food may be used. As for any purpose, ask the Gemara, Rabbanan Nami Huksiv l'chem, how would the Rabbanan say lechem? Says the Gemara lechem, what we learn from the lechem, it has to be dumya la'achla. We could only use Shemitah produce the way we use food. And as we described, food is used, misha nosa biur and shoven, that the benefit and the consumption of the object come at the same time. Yotza misha kvusa, shanosa acha biurin. First you soak, then first you do the laundry, and only afterwards does it become clean. Or another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that you don't really benefit from the cleaning until you put on the clean garment. Rabbi Yossi asked the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi who did not limit Shemitah Paris to that to La'achla, what does he do with the word Haksiv La'achla? Says the Gemara, Amalach, Rabbi Yossi says, I need the word Malachma, Haumi Bailich, Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us, the Tanya La'achla, the Loyal Malugma. We can't use Peirishvias for medicine. So ask the Gemara, at the Oyma La'achla, the Loyal Malugma, ask the Gemara, we're using the word La'achla, according to Rabbi Yossi, that can't be used for medicine. Ela La'achla, the Loyal Kfusa. Ask the Gemara, why? And we're saying that it can be used for, maybe what the pasuk is coming to teach us, it can't be used for laundry, says the Gemara. Kishoim lechem, since the Torah uses the words lechem, harei kvus amr, that they may be used for laundry. Hamani mekayim lachla, what does lachla teach us, says Rabbi Yossi, lachla v'loyel melugma. Ask the Gemara. So we have two pasukim. We have a pasuk of lechem, we have the pasuk of lachla. And the Gemara is saying that the way to understand these psukim is that we use the word la'achla to to include kvusa, and we use la'achla to exclude melugma, and we use lachem to include kvusa. So ask the Gemara the obvious question. Umarisa, why do you explain the pasukim that way? L'rabbis is some kvusa, to say that it can be used for laundry. Well, l'haitzis melugma, it can't be used for medicine. Maybe it should be the other way around. Answers the Gemara. Marbani as a kvusa. It's better for me to include laundry. Shavu b'kolodom. Everybody needs laundry. Umaitin is a melugma. But I exclude medicine, shayna shava b'kol adam. So now, the Gemara, let's bring it all together. Rava said, as we said at the end of our previous year, that stam eitzim la'sokim k'tanam. And since wood is typically used for firewood, that's why there's no kedusha shvius on any wood that we collect. And now we're saying that this is actually a machloikus of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanim. The Rabbanan, because the Brisa speaks about fruit that could be eaten, but I picked the fruit not for eating purposes. I used it for soaking. I used it for laundry, which are not Hanasam, Bior, and Shaman. So the question is, will there be Kedusha Shvius? We said that one of the examples that we use for soaking is wine. So wine is certainly typically used for eating, for drinking. So wine is certainly in the category of La'achla. But when we don't use the wine for that purpose, we use the wine for laundry, what will be the halacha? So Rabbanan's opinion is, since wine is usually used for eating, even though in this case it's not used for eating, the halacha is they won't have kedushin shvius. They will have kedushin shvius because we go after what it's typically used for. According to Rabbi Yossi, that says that we may use them, we don't look at the wine and say, well, wine is usually used for drinking. And if wine is usually used for drinking, it should be subject to the shvius. No, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that if I have this wine designated for laundry, for soaking, that I could use it. And I don't look at what is the typical use of the wine. So we see Rabbanan hold like what Rava said. We use at what is the typical use. We look at what is the typical use. And Rabbi Yossi holds that we don't look at the typical use. We have to look at what the product was designated for. Ask the Gemara. Kaman Azlahad Tanya. Ask the Gemara, who is the Tana of the following Brisa? The Brisa says, V'lochla v'loyla melugma. Can't be used for medicine. V'lochla v'loyla zilof. V'lochla v'loyla asmanapik toizen. They used to have a drink that they used to make that if somebody overate and they needed to expel the food, they would have an appetizer. You can't use Shemitah fruit for that purpose. Come on, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says that anything which is not Shavah B'kol, anything which is not a use that everybody needs, a refuah or appetizer, you can't use Shemitah produce for. Deik Rabbanon, because according to Rabbanon, if this price were to follow the Rabbanon, so then the Rabbanon hold got Mishra Kvusa, you can't also use Shvis payers for, because you can only use it for something which is Hanoso Biyor Shava. Rudimer, so we learned in the Mishnah, that if somebody asked the person who dyed his wool red and he did it black or vice versa, so Rameya said, you give him the value of the wool. Why? Because Rameya's opinion, as we learned in the Mishnah, is that Shinui Koina, the Gazlan became the owner of this product with the fact that he did what he wasn't supposed to do. And therefore, as every Gazlan, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta, pays the value of what he stole. Rabbi Yehuda says, as we explained in the Mishnah, that he didn't mean to take ownership of it. That's the simplest way, Rabbi Yehuda. Or you could say Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shinui is not Koina. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says we have to assess. Im Ashvach Yesal Itziya. If the improvement is worth more than what was expended, then you give whatever is lower. Then you'll give the amount that he put into the wool. And if that's what he's going to get back. And otherwise, you'll get the amount that it improved. Says the Gemara, Simon Sabin. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rabbi Yosef Achuri de Rababa. Rabbi Yosef was sitting behind Rababa. Kamed Rav Huna. They were both sitting in front of Rav Huna. Yasser Rav Huna v'kama, halach Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. The halach is like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha that disagrees with the Chachamah. We'll see what that means in a moment. The halach Rav Yehuda, and the halach is like Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hedrina Rav Yosef Lape, Rav Yosef turned around. That was a way of showing displeasure. He wasn't satisfied. Vama, and he said, Bishlam Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, to tell me that the halach is like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha versus the Chachamim Itztrich. We need to say it, because Salkadat Chamina, since we would think that normally that when we have a Machlaikus Yochid Rabim, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha versus the Rabbanan Halach Rabim, that's why Rav Huna had to teach us Kamash Malon Halach Kerb Yehuda, Halach Yochid, that we follow the opinion of Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. So asking Mar, what are we referring to here? It says, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha Mahi, what do we refer when we speak that the Halach is like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha versus the Rabbanan? The Tanya. The Braisa says that the Mishnah, the Mesechta Avodah Zarah, the beginning of the Mesechta, that Beis Amin Alf discusses that if Akum owes a Yisrael money, the halach is that the Yisrael is not allowed to take payment from the Akum within 3 days of their holidays, because we're concerned that the Akum is very happy that he was able to pay off his debt, and he's going to go and thank his Avodah Zarah on his holiday for this opportunity. The Chum hold that there's no nafkamina, whether it was a milvah bapeh or milvah b'shtar, whether it's a written obligation or an oral obligation. The Shumam Karcha does differentiate. Shumam Karcha ima, milvah b'shtar ain't a from him, since the Yisrael has a document that the Akum owes him money, so he knows that he's going to have to pay, and when he finally pays off, there is indeed a concern that he's going to thank his Avodah Zarah. However, Milvapeh, the Frahmahem, Neisha Kamatzlam Yodam, since there's no document, so the Akum is very likely to absconce and not pay. And therefore, if we're able to get the payment, then we take it no matter what. And because we're concerned, if there's no strong document obligating the Akum to pay, he may not pay. So if we're able to get the money, we should get it. And that's the halacha. But ask the Gemara, halacha Rabbi Yehuda Lamali, why was it necessary, ask the Gemara, to tell us the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda? There's a rule, that machloikus v'achakach stam, whenever we have a machloikus in a Mishnah, and then afterwards we have another Mishnah where the Mishnah paskins like one of these opinions, machloikus v'achakach stam, halachikastam. And the reason is because Rebbe first quoted both opinions, and after Rebbe quoted both opinions, he by stating only one opinion, he was showing that that's the opinion that we follow. As says the Gemara, what does that mean? Machloikus, we have the machloikus in our Mishnah, where we have the Baba Kama, Letzvaya Edom, Letzvaya Shachar, Shachar V'tzava Edom, where we have the machlokes from Meir Oimer Noisin Loi Demei Tzamroi, and Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Imer Shvach Yeser Yitzia Noisin Losin Yitzia, from Yitzia Yeser El Shvach Noisin Losin Shvach. And then, so that's a machlokes here in Masech Baba Kama. And then when we're going to learn Masech Baba Metzia, the Tanan, the Mishnah over there teaches us that if somebody does different than instructed Yoda Tachtoina, then he is in the weaker hand. And that's, as we've been learning, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. If the person who was hired to dye the dough did not do as he was instructed, he's either going to get the shvach or the yitzia, which is whoever less. And there's another halacha. The kol achoizaba, anybody who backs out of a deal in the middle of the day, if somebody was hired to be a worker for the whole day, and then he backs out, yodo al techtoinam. And now, let's say, I had contracted a worker for the day, and the worker that I contracted walks out in the middle of the day, and I'm going to have to find another worker for the rest of the day, and that worker will be more expensive. I could deduct that from the salary I owe the first worker. So that's why the Gemara is saying, of course, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Huna. So indeed, if this is a case of machloikus v'achakach stam, why did Rav Huna have to tell us that the halacha is Rabbi Yehuda? Obviously, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara of Huna Itzruch. Huna says it was necessary for us to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Kusakadat Chamina ain't say the Mishnah. That when we learn different mesechtes, even though the mesechtes are of in a certain order, they did not necessarily learn the mesechtes in the order that they in Shas. Because, as I saw the Mefarshim explain, the Talmidim sometimes wanted to learn a specific mesechta, even though it was not in the order that they were learning in Yeshiva. And since it wasn't in the order they were learning in Yeshiva, so since they learned it out of order, it cannot be considered a case of Stam V'achakach Machlaikus. Says the Gemara, but here, says the Gemara, Stam V'achakach Machlaikus. Says the Gemara, so that's why it's not considered a Machlaikus V'achakach Stam. They might have learned Baba Metzia before Baba Kama. So ask the Gemara, Yehachakach Machlaikus. In every case, we just said there's a rule of machloikus v'achakach stam, that the halacha is like the stam. But now asks the Gemara, if we're saying they did not necessarily learn a specific order, why don't we always say, kam machloikus v'achakach stam, neima ain't say the Mishnah, and say that instead of saying it's a machloikus v'achakach stam, we should say it's a stam v'achakach machloikus hi. Rav Huna, so how does Rav Huna say? Kila, I mean, ain't say the Mishnah. Where don't we say that there's an order to the Mishnah? B'chad ha-Mesechta. Avotrei Mesechta Samrinan. So he says like this. In one Mesechta, of course, everything follows an order. So if we have one, if we have a Stam, and then a Machloikis, then it's not, we don't follow the Stam Mishnah. If we have a Machloikis in one Mesechta, and then later on a Mishnayis in that Mesechta, we're going to say it's a Machloikis V'akak Stam. But, Trei Mesechta, in true Mesechtes, we say ain't say the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef, who did consider this a case of Machloikus V'achakach Stam, either Machloikus is here in Mesechta Baba Kama, and the Stam is Mesechta Baba Metzia, says the Gemara, he holds Kula Nazikin Chod Mesechta Hi. It's all considered one Mesechta, and therefore, there is, even amongst Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, are all considered one Mesechta. And now we just finished saying that when it's all a one Mesechta, we consider it Stam V'Akach Machloikus Machloikus or Machloikus V'Akach Stam. And therefore, since here in Baba Kama, we have first the Machloikus, and then we have the Stam later on in Mesechta Baba Metzia, it's considered Mestama, a Machloikus V'Akach Stam. There's a machloikis when we say that all of Nazikin is one Mesechta. Does it mean all of Seder Nazikin? But most Mefarshim seem to learn that it's only Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. That those three Mesechtas that we have as three Mesechtas were originally one Mesechta. And that's why it's just Baba means a shar, a chapter. That's why they consider one Mesechta, but it has nothing to do with the rest of Nezikin. Vibay Seima, another reason, even if we'll say that Baba Kama and Baba Metzia are considered two separate Mesechtas, and since they're considered two separate Mesechtas, we cannot apply over here the rule of Machloikus V'Achach Stam, but there, in this case, we're in that Mishnah, we're paskening like Rabbi Yehuda, and in that Mishnah, there's another rule which everybody agrees is the halacha. The Mishnah, the other rule that we said that the Mishnah says kol mishana yad al tachtonai v'kol hachoyz by yad al tachtonai. That is an accepted halacha, and the fact that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is stated next to that is clearly an indication that the halacha is also like Rabbi Yehuda. The pasuk says, in the beginning of Parashas by Midbar, when the Torah describes how Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, it says, Ish al diglai ba'oisois lebeis avoisom yachnu b'nei Yisrael b'neged sovav lo'il mo'id yachnu. That they all were in a special order in the around the Mishkan. Says the Sefer V'yag from the Papa Rav. He says, what's critical in our observance of Torah and mitzvahs is the Messiah. The Messiah, that the way the Menhagim of our forefathers are necessary for us to continue. He says that the Mishnah, Kalam Shana Yadal Vachtaina, if somebody, Chas V'Sholem, doesn't follow that Messiah, then Yadal Vachtaina, he's not in a good place. And that's what the Pasuk means to say. Ish Al Digloi Ba'Oisos L'Beis Avoisam. If we are following the Beis Avoisam, if we're following the Menhagim of our forefathers, then Menegit Sovav L'Oil Ma'od Yachnu, that no matter where we will be, we will always be around the Oil HaMoyed, and we will always be connected to Kedusha. But if Chas V'Sholem Kol HaMashana, if somebody veers away from those Menhagim, then Yodah Tachtoinai, he ends up being in the wrong place. Tanabonim. So our Gemara begins discussing the Halacha, what's to be if a Shliach doesn't do as instructed. So it says the Ma'atana Abana, Noisim Ma'as to Shluchai, if somebody gives money to Shliach, Likach Loichitin to buy for him wheat, V'lokach Men Sayrim. And instead of buying wheat, he buys barley, or vice versa. Sayrim, he was asked to buy barley, V'lokach Mechem Chitim, and he bought wheat. Tanya Chada, so one Brisa says, in Pichsu, if the value of what he bought drops, Pichsuloi, the Shliach takes the loss. Him is Siru, and if they go up in value, Hasiruloi, the profit is the Shliach's. But Tani Chada, and the other Brisa says, in Pichsu, if they go down in value, Pichsuloi, then the Halacha is that the loss is the Shliach's. Him is Siru, if they go up a value, Hasiru Emtsa, then they share the profit. So of course the obvious question is, how do we reconcile the two brises? The two brises don't give the same thing. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Kasha, Hara Mei v'Hara Yehuda. These two brises represent the machlokes that we've been learning of Rav Mei Rav Yehuda. Hara Mei, Rav Mei the Amar Rav Mei that said in our Mishnah Shinui Koina, that if you don't follow the instructions, you become a gazlin, and therefore the shliach who did not follow the instruction becomes his. Rav Yehuda Omer, the Rav Yehuda Shema Eina Koina, since he doesn't become a gazlin, so the aloch is then he's it still belongs to the person who sent it, and therefore since it belongs to the person who sent it. So now we say that both contributed by making, the both of them have what the profit from not having followed the instruction, and we're divided. But if it drops in value, so then he could say, the Mishaleach, the person who sent it, could say to the Shliach, a concept that the Gemara discusses often, L'tikuni Shidaticha, I only sent you for my benefit, but not for my detriment. So if you did not what I said, and by not doing by not following my instructions, I suffer a loss, I don't want you to be my shliach. Maskvloi Rebbe Lezer asks Rebbe Lezer, how do we compare that case to our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is speaking about a case where he wants to use the wool. And I want red wool. And you did it black. It's not the color I want. Avel Eschaira, in the case of business, I'm not buying this for my own use. I'm buying it for profit purposes. So who says Rameya will say his opinion? Elam Belezer, Havaha Rameya. Both Bryces represent the opinion of Rameya. Veloy Kasha. Kan Lachila, the Bryce that says that it all is the shliach gain or loss, is when the shliach was sent that I want to eat that. So if I want to eat barley, I don't want to eat wheat. If I want to eat wheat, I don't want to eat barley. So therefore, if you didn't follow my instruction, you're a gazlan. Kan l'schayra. But in the second brisa, it's a case where I bought it for business. If I bought it for business, all I'm looking for is that I should make business. And I don't care if it's barley or wheat, says the Gemara. Machkalab Amarava. This teretz that Rabbi Yochanan offered says the Gemara, they laughed at an Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan li Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Braisa that says that if the prophet, if it went up, they share the prophet. And the Shliach is not considered a Gazlan. But ask the Gemara, so now the Gemara has a new consideration. Even if we say that the Shliach is not a Gazlan, the person who bought the Chitin, the person who sold the Chitin, he didn't know that this person's a Shliach. He thought that this is the person to whom he's selling this to. And therefore it becomes his. And since it becomes his, why would the Meshaleach have any share of it? Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, that if a Shliach is buying something on my behalf, and he's buying it from whomever, and the person who's selling it to the Shliach doesn't know that the Shliach is acting on my behalf, all he sees is the Shliach. And now the Gemara is saying that if all he sees is, if all the seller sees is the Shliach, he thinks that he's selling to the Shliach, so then what's the difference if he followed instruction or didn't follow instruction? Even if I told the Shliach to buy wheat, and he bought wheat, but since the seller doesn't know that this person's a Shliach, so then the Shliach should become the owner of the wheat. And I saw that the Sefer, Oinig Yontif, says that the question that's being discussed here is really a very fundamental discussion. The Oinig Yontif is in Yerideh Simen Kuf Yud Gimel. We've quoted this Oinig Yontif before. How does the halacha look at a shliach? We know that the halacha is that shlucha shel adam kamaisai. But says the Oinig Yontif, how does the halacha look at a shliach? If we look as a shliach, as an extension of the Meshaleach, so the fact that the seller is not aware that this person is a Shliach doesn't make a difference, because the Shliach's role is really just to be an extension of the Meshaleach. So the Shliach and the Meshaleach are really all one and the same. But if we look at a Shliach, says the Oinig Yontif, as an independent individual, just that there's a new din in the Torah of Shliachus, but that doesn't mean he is really just an extension of the Meshaleach. What it just means is that he is a, that there's a din in the Torah that Shlichus works. If that's the way we look at this, so then the halacha will be that if the Meshaleach, if the seller doesn't know that the Shliach is acting as a Shliach, as far as he's concerned, he's an independent individual, and it should become the property of the Shliach. Amar Rabavua, Sir Rabavua answers, Shani Chitim Chitim. Says the Gemara, the Shlichusai Ka'avit, if the Shliach fulfills my instruction, so then Kibal Bayis Tami. And simple pshat is that the Gemara is saying that Shlucha Shel Adam Kamaisai makes him an extension of me. Teda, says the Gemara, I'll bring you a raya, that the Shliach follows instruction, he's considered the extension of the Meshaleach, the Tanan. The Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Erechin Daf Chof Dal Raman Aleph. Echad HaMagdish Nechasov, if somebody said all of my assets should be Hegdish, or the Echad HaMaruchis Atzmai. We know that Torah Gdoisha has a parasha of Erechin, that every individual, based on their age and based on their gender, has a prescribed value. And let's say the person doesn't have the ability to pay what he pledged, the halacha is the gizbur takes from him a mashkin, takes from him his assets. But says the Mishnah, Masechet Erechin Daf Chof Dal Amud Aleph, Ein L'Biksus Ishta V'Lo B'Biksus Banav, he doesn't have a right to take this person's wife's garments, his children's garments, V'Lo B'Tseva Shetzava V'Lo B'Shvan, not even the garment that he gave his wife's or children's garment that he gave for dying, not the shoes that he bought for his family. Why don't we say Who says to the person who's coloring this that he's coloring for the wife? Because maybe he's, as far as he's concerned, since the husband brought this garment for coloring, it's the husband's garment. The husband that brings it to the tzava is considered a shliach, and since he's considered for a shliach, that means it's theirs. When I do as I'm told, the shliach does what he's told. Shlichusay ka'avid kiyad baal ba'is tami, and therefore, is the shliach comes in the place of the mishalayach, even though the seller isn't aware of that. Amar Rabba Loi, there that you can't compare the two subjects. You know, the Rav Abba is not saying that what we're saying is not correct. The question, what Rav Abba is saying is, you can't bring a raya from there to here. Because Kol Magdish Nechasov, the Pshat in that Mishnah is based on a whole different concept. Kol Makadish Nechasov, if somebody's Magdish Nechasov, ain't that like Sus Ishtoi Ubonov. He's putting up all of his assets for to be Magdish. But he's not doing it for anything else. Not that they could be able to take his wife's assets. Maskler of Zera, the Hidat Shlodim al Tfilov, when somebody is Magdish his Nechasim, does he mean that if he can't afford, they should be allowed to take the Tfilin, his Tfilin of Tanan? But yet the Mishnah Masechta Erechin teaches us, Ha Magdish Nechasim, if somebody is Magdish his assets, and he can't afford to pay his pledge, Ma'aloy Tfilov, we take away his Tfilin. So why don't we say that certainly when the person was Magdish's assets, he did not mean to include his Tfilin? Amal Abai in. When a person is Magdish's assets, and he means that all of his assets should be obligated to that loan, he meant his tefillin as well. Because what's his thinking? Magdish nechasu savalik mitzvah kavidna. Somebody who's Magdish's assets thinks I'm doing a mitzvah. Dat shalodim ksus ishto yubanov mishameva. The person thinks they could take my tefillin, because my tefillin I need for a mitzvah, and to pay off this pledge is a mitzvah. But a person doesn't have in mind that they should be taking his wife's assets. He's concerned that they should be taking away his wife's clothing. His wife will be upset if they take away his clothing. So he clearly had a mind that his wife's clothing should not be meshubed to that obligation. There's an interesting shaila. Somebody sold all of his assets. There was somebody who, Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses a situation where somebody unfortunately is not well, and in order to be able to travel, he's in Eretz Yisrael, he needs to travel to Chutz Loretz, and he needs to pay for doctor bills. And he says to somebody, I'm selling you all of my assets, and you pay me for them, you take all of my assets, like that I'll have money to pay for this. And the question is, amongst his assets are matzahs that he baked for Pesach. And the question is, are those matzahs sold, included in that sale, or the matzahs not included in the sale? So he says a very interesting answer. He says, our Gemara said a svara. What was the svara the Gemara said? That a Magdish Nechasov, if somebody is Magdish's assets, so he thinks that the tefillin should be also obligated to that Hegdish. Why does he think that the tefillin should be obligated to that Hegdish? So the Gemara said, because he thinks tefillin are a mitzvah and Hegdish is a mitzvah. So since they're both mitzvahs, that's why he says the tefillin should be used to pay off that debt. But that's because he was Magdish's assets. And he looks at his tefillin as also, he looks at it as all mitzvah purposes. He says, when somebody sells his assets because he needs the cash, he doesn't look at selling his assets as a mitzvah, and therefore, because I need to get to Chutz Laretz. The way he looks at it is that he looks at this situation that he's selling his assets because he needs money. And therefore, such an individual cannot be considered as if he included his tefillin. Maskler Ravosha asked Ravosha, V'loichai ve'archashanikon. But one of the people that was mentioned in that Mishnah was somebody who took an erech pledge upon himself. V'tanan, and the Mishnah Masechet Erechin says, Chayva Erechin, Mamashka Noison. If somebody pledged his erech and he can't afford it, then the halacha is they go at his home and they take everything. So says the Gemara, yes, I took upon myself an erech pledge, but did I mean to put everything in my life up for collateral? V'chidata sh'adam alatzen l'mashkonoi, says the Gemara, El Amar Rab Abba, kol mekadosh nechasov, nasa k'mi shikna l'anksus ishtabana mikaroi. When a person is magdish his assets, the halacha views it before he did this pledge, then he said to his wife and children, your clothing are yours. And if yours, they can't be taken for the pledge. Tanabana alokech sod b'shem chaveri. If somebody buys a property in somebody else's name, ein kaifen oisei limkar, we can't force the person in whose name it was sold to sell it to the person who bought it in his name. From amalei amanas, but if it was said up front that that I'm not buying it for him to for it to be his, then kaifen oisei limkar. Says the Ramai Kama, what was said here? Amar of Sheshes HaKama. Halakech Sod Mechaveri B'Shem Resh Gelusa. People would use somebody, the name of the Resh Gelusa when they would buy a property. Because their thinking was, I'm going to buy a property, and then people may come after me and say, well, it's my property. But if I buy the property in the name of Resh Gelusa, people are fearful of the Resh Gelusa. And they won't start up. Ein Kaifenais Resh Gelusa Lemkar. We cannot force the Resh Gelusa to rewrite the Shtar Mechira in my name. However, if when I bought it, I said I'm an ass, then Kaifanais Resh Gelusa Limkar to rewrite it. Amamar, so says the Gemara, reviews this brisa. We just learned, Halakeach Sad B'Shem Resh Gelusa Ein Kaifanais Resh Gelusa Limkar Mechlal, the Makna Kanele. We don't force the Resh Gelusa to rewrite it, but the halacha is that it is his. Says it is the person who bought it. Lema pliga de maramarava. Says the Gemara, why is this not different than what we've been learning in our shir? Damri, that when we said that if I told you to buy, if I asked the shliach to buy something and he bought something else, we learned v'chim edil baal chitin, shir chitin baal bais. We said that the person selling it doesn't know that the shliach is not buying it from me, is buying it from me. Says the Gemara, ich mishum haloi kasha. Because here we're referring to a situation. The deal about Sada, I who bought this property notified the person that I'm buying it for myself, and I also notified the Edom, and I'm just using the Resh Gelusa's name to protect me. Elam Seifa, the Brisa continued, if I stipulated Amanas that the Resh Gelusa will ultimately rewrite that star to me, Kaifanais Resh Gelusa Limkar, Amai, Zalema. Why can't the Resh Gelusa say, I don't want you to make me so important and use my name, and I don't want you to make me unimportant that I have to rewrite documents in my name. And the way I sort of mefarshim explained the Gemara, that when people sell property, the reputation they have is that they must be desperate for cash. And Resh Gelusa says, I don't want you to say that I'm desperate for cash. Elam Abaya, Hachkam. This is the way to understand the Brisa. Halakeach Masay Sada B'Shem Chaveroi. A person who bought a property, but he says that he's buying it on behalf of somebody else. Ein Kaifen Asamoicher Limka Zimna Achrita. We don't force the seller to rewrite the shtar. Vim Amaloi. But if we told the seller Amanas that this is what's going to have to happen, then the halacha is Kaifen Asalimkar. We could force him to write over the shtar. So here we learn a new concept. We learned the concept that sometimes people will write things that aren't accurate just to protect themselves. So I saw that the Rabbi Eliyashiv asked a question. Somebody was transporting matzahs, and he was concerned that the people who do the transportation should be careful with the matzahs. They're fragile. So he wrote on the box in which he put the matzahs that it's glass. Is that mutter or not? So Rabbi Yosef Zatzal Paskin, that it's not considered sheker. because all he was trying to do was to protect himself. And like in our Gemara, the person who wrote the document in the Reish Galusa's name, even though it wasn't meant to be for the Reish Galusa, but since he was looking to protect himself, as we explained, it was permitted. And I saw that Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Amunah says, the Gemara Masechta Yevamos says that if somebody found a barrel and it says Truma, the Gemara Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Tezvav, says that it doesn't mean it's necessarily Truma. He only wrote it's Truma because people, even irreligious people, treated Truma with great respect, and just because it says Truma on it doesn't mean it's truly Truma. So we see from here number of precedents where people write something just to protect it, even though it's not necessarily correct, and even though it's not as it says, but it's allowed to be done for protection purposes.